of Romans, chapter 5. Let us begin reading here at verse 1 of this fifth chapter. You know, the chapters are the device of men and not of God. Sometimes the chapters run together, but they have been divided by men, I guess, to maybe they thought it would help us in our reading of the Scriptures, the study of the Scriptures. But here in this fifth chapter, Paul continues his discourse on how God saves sinners. In the latter part of that fourth chapter, he uses for an illustration, which is a true illustration, of Adam and David. And he talks about Abraham, or Abraham and David, rather. In verse 20, he says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He believed God. It doesn't say he believed in God. It says he believed God. It's one thing to believe God and another thing to believe in God. The devil believes in God, but does not believe God. Abraham believed what God said. God said, "I'll make your seed. I'll give you a son in your old age, 90-some years old, and Sarah's in her 90s, beyond nature to conceive, but I'll give you a child, and I'll give you a seed that will outnumber the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore." And he believed God, and he didn't stagger or waver. That which he had promised. But he believed that God was able to do all that he said he would do. He was able to perform, to fulfill the promise. He believed God. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, charged to his account. Now it was not written for his sake alone, not just for him, but his sake alone, that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, for us sinners, those who are sinners, those who are made to know they are sinners, and agree with God that they are sinners, and that they have no hope of eternal salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, and says that he was delivered, the Lord Jesus was delivered for our offenses. He had no offenses. There was no reason for him to die, because he had no sin, he had no offenses, but he was delivered as a substitute. He was delivered as the surety. He was delivered as the representative. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, for our right standing before God. And chapter 5 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, faith in the risen one, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. That is, we have come to the understanding by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who satisfied all the claims against us, that God's not angry with us, that He's not mad at us. Our offenses has been paid for by the Son of God Himself, and so we have peace now with God. We surrendered, and we're not at war with Him. We're at peace, and we know He's God our Father, and that He cares for us. He cared for us before we ever knew His name. He cared for us in eternity. He cares for us in time. Not mad at us. He's not going to punish us. He may chastise us, but He does that out of love and mercy to us. Loves us too much to let us go too far. And when we go too far, He lays a heavy hand upon us out of love and mercy. So we have peace with God. We can come to Him now. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Blessed be the name of God. We can come to Him any time of the day and night. Hard times and good times, we call upon the name of our Father. We have that relationship with Him. We're not at war with Him. We're at peace, and the peace of God is in our hearts, and this peace is so great that it passes all understanding. And it goes on, He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Access. And it says, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Because we know that tribulations worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, in God's time, according to the time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man, will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto us. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Then, or that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I've read all that to say this, that it pleased God to commence the human race with a single pair of individuals. It pleased God to start this human race by and through a pair of single individuals, Adam and Eve. By one man, Adam. Adam was the representative of the entire race of mankind. I read to you in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners." By this one man, Adam, who was the representative of the entire race of mankind, God determined to deal with men in the mass through this one chosen representative. In that one man, they stood in perfection for a while. How long or how short Adam's obedience was, I don't know. Some say he was obedient for a month or a year or a day or 2 weeks. I don't know. I don't know how long it was or how short it was that Adam stood in perfect obedience to God. But we know that it was a time that all of those that Adam represented stood in the perfection that the first Adam had. But that didn't last very long. Whether it was one day or 1,000 days, I don't know. But I do know that after Adam was created by God out of the dust of the earth and given a helpmeet, his wife Eve, after a time, Adam was tempted. I know that. He was tempted, and I know that he fell. He fell. This one that represented the whole of the human race, he stood in perfection, and we stood in him in perfection. Representatively, he was perfect for a time, and representatively, we being in him, as the head of us all, we stood perfectly. Now, there was a time shortly after his perfect obedience and his perfect relationship with God, there was a time after that that he was tempted. He was tempted and he fell. And when he fell, we fell with him. God hath chose to deal with us through this individual, Adam. He chose him to be our representative. And he represented us. And what he did, we did. We were perfect in him. He was perfect in himself. We was in him. And when he fell, we fell. He broke the one commandment that was given to him as a test. Broke that one commandment. His commandment by no means was a hard one either. And he broke it willfully, deliberately, and straightway our representative was found to be faulty and guilty. He broke the one command that God had given him. And by the breaking of that one commandment, the effect of it was upon all that he represented. And that was every member of the human race. It pleased God to start this human race by this individual pair. And because of his disobedience to this command that he broke from God, he was expelled. He was forced out of paradise, and upon all of his seed, all of those that he represented, every member of the human race, seeing that they were represented in him, there came judgment upon them unto condemnation, the Bible says. And the result was, as men grew and advanced or growed older in years and in months and days and so forth, they died. And from Adam, the Bible says, to Moses, to this present day, it has been the rule that men should die. So that sin, the breaking of this command given of God to Adam, the sin of Adam has prevailed over the race and left to his fallen race a life of sorrow and toil and heartache. I believe, personally here, you may not agree with me, but if you think about it for a while, I believe you will. I believe that it is a happy circumstance for us that we did fall and were condemned in our representative, Adam. Because if we, each one of us, been individually put upon like probation as Adam was, we would have certainly fallen. If we would have stood in the place of Adam and been put on the same probation that he was, this do and live, this if you do you'll die, we would have died a whole lot quicker than Adam. We would have surely fallen. So we're no better than our first Adam. We're no better than Adam and Eve. The angels fell, but there was no hope of restoration for fallen angels. There was no gospel ever preached to fallen angels. But for man, who was represented in the first Adam, there's hope of eternal life, but not for angels. Nowhere does it say that the gospel was preached to angels. So in the infinite wisdom and the mercy of the great and glorious God. There came into this world a second Adam. The first Adam, our representative. The first Adam fell. And when the first Adam fell, we fell. And the effect of the fall was that judgment came upon all men. But in the infinite and glorious wisdom and mercy and the grace of Almighty God in heaven, there came into this world the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. The man, Christ Jesus, a real man. Only two real men that ever lived, and it was the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam fell, and the second Adam came to undo what the first Adam did. A man, a real man. For it was also God. He was the God-man. He was all God and all man in one purpose. And He offered Himself as an atonement for the offense committed against God's holy law. Although there was just one command given to Adam. And Adam broke that command and fell, and we fell with him. And God sent His Christ, God manifest in the flesh, sent Him to make atonement for all the offenses. Not just the one offense, but for all the offenses of fallen men. The Bible says that He made an atonement for the offense committed against God's holy and just law. And the atonement was so great and so marvelous and so effectual that the Bible says that whosoever believeth in Him, his sins are put away forever. I'd say that is a great atonement. That His blood was so effectual in cleansing that whosoever, regardless of how great his sin might be, whosoever believeth in Him, his sin shall be pardoned. His sin shall be forgiven on the basis of the efficacy of the blood of Him whom God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Remember now, the second Adam came to do what the first Adam, or he came to undo what the first Adam did. So listen to me. Such an atonement, such a blessed atonement, that whosoever believeth in Him hath his sins put away forever. So, listen to me now, so that we rise in the same manner as we fell, only in a different person. We fell in the person of Adam. And we rise again in the person of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we rise in the same manner as we fell, only in a different person. We fell in the first Adam through no fault of our own. He was our representative. We did not personally sin. We weren't there. Our beings wasn't here upon this earth at that time. We had not yet been born. But we were born in eternity in the mind and the purpose and the will of God. And God sent Adam as our representative,
And so we live or die in what the first Adam did. And the second Adam came, and we live in him. We died in the first one, we live in the second. So, we fell in the first Adam through no fault of our own. We wasn't there. But he's our representative. And so, we fell in him through no fault of our own, and we rise in the second Adam through no merit of our own. No fault of our own in the first Adam, and the second Adam, no merit of our own. We rise again in his merit, not our merit. You see that? It's the free grace of God that we're received back into favor with God. Free grace all the way through. Paul tells us, and I read it to you here in this chapter, that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But is it not so with the free gift? The free gift takes away the many transgressions. Adam offended once, and by that one offense, he brought us all into disfavor with God. Now, if one offense had such power that the whole race, millions and billions and billions and billions of people that ever lived upon this earth, if that one offense had such power that the whole race was ruined by it, well, might we not adore the wondrous work of the Lord Jesus Christ by which many offenses are removed by the gift of pardon and free grace? Oh, my soul, what an atonement we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, brings us back into favor with God. And God now smiles upon us, is not angry with us because of the Lord Jesus Christ standing in our stead and place and room and bearing the punishment that was due us, satisfying every claim that the law had against us. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Oh, that sinless one, that perfect one, that never offended in any point, always pleasing in the sight of God. Free gift of pardon, which he came into this world to bring. Listen. All the guilt that was upon us, all the shame because of our sin, all of that was taken away the very moment that the sinner's soul and his heart trust in God's Christ. All of that guilt and all of that shame is forever removed. Every sin's pardoned. All the shame and guilt is gone. And we're just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there now at God's right hand. We're members of his body. And he can't perish. So we can't perish. We'll never be destroyed because he'll never be destroyed. He stands as the conquering Savior who's conquered sin, the world, and the devil, and flesh. And we stand in him. And the moment, the very moment that a man woman, boy, or girl, turns and trusts God Christ for His atonement and His salvation, brother, he stands whiter than the snow. Ah, this is such a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. I can't get over it. I can't get over it. A black, vile sinner like myself has so many sins. Sins of thought, sins of deeds, sins of ignorance, sins willfully. All kinds of sins. I'm told here in the Holy Bible, if I but turn and trust Him, they're all gone. It says that the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. There in that 16th verse. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The many offenses. There's no need for me to tell you this morning that it'll do you no good to try to count your sins. You have so many, you couldn't count them. Your mathematics, your arithmetic will fail you in any attempt that you make in order to count your sins. You have so many sins, you are so corrupt and polluted and dirty, in the filthy in the sight of God. And that's not including your sins of ignorance. You can't count. You fail at the attempt to sum them all up. But you will benefit, I believe, if you go over the transgressions of your life that you remember, from your childhood to the time of your youth and to your manhood, you can add them up, these prevalent sins that rises up in your heart. You could go over them if you want to. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go down to the bottom of the list as you've observed them and added them up, and you can write down there that the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. You're freed from them all. Even though your sins outnumber the sands on the seashore. Somebody was telling me, that was my neighbor. I was up there the other day cutting a little wood, and she came out and wanted to know if I wanted to drink a pop. We talked a little bit, and she told me. She said, "Well, you know, my only son is coming in to visit me." And I said, "Well, been some time since you've seen him." She said, "Yes." And said, "I long to see him, and he longs to see me, and we'll have a good time." She said, "We're going to go over to the beach. We're going to Myrtle Beach, and I'm going to take my whole family, all my daughters and my grandchildren, my husband, and some other friends. We're all going over. We've got a big condominium over there, and we're just going to lollygag around in the sun and on the beach and eat fish and all that. Just have a great big time." And I thought after she got through talking to me about walking on the beach, that from Maine to Florida, way down to the tip of Florida, to the Key West, there's just one large strip of sand that they call the seashore, and it runs out into the water a ways and then runs way back in the land. And if you was to walk those 1,800 or 2,000 miles from from Maine to Florida and stay in the, you could stay in the sand all the way down. They are tons and tons and tons and tons of sand. That's the way our sins are. They're so many, they're so numerous. You can't add them up. You can't even remember them. But blessed be God, the atonement that this second Adam has made and offered himself as our sacrifice does away with all of our sins, even though they are as many as the sand, grains of sand on the seashore. And the amazing thing about it is that they are done away with, they're made an end of, and God says, I don't even remember them against you no more. You'll stand in Christ forever as though you'd never sinned. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Think of all that sand. There's just a few gets in between your toes and in your shoes or something. Boy, that beggars the actuality of what we are by nature. But he says, I'll write down to the bottom of that list of all you've made up. I'll write down to the bottom that the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. You're justified before me. And in justification, God regards us. He regards us as He regards His Son, as though we had never sinned. Sins are gone, clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gone forever, these sins of ignorance. Sins of ignorance. Now this one transgression of Adam led to judgment, it says. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. Led to judgment. The judgment was by one. The first sin of our parent did not go very long until it was judged. It didn't go long unjudged, the sin of Adam. Before the sun went down that day, the Lord God walked in the cool of the day in the garden. And he called to Adam. And he said, where art thou, Adam? And Adam stood before him in a different relationship from that which he had before. He had sinned. He stands now as an offender. He stands now as a sinner. And as a sinner and an offender, he's to be judged by God. And part of his judgment was that he went from the Garden of Eden. He was forced out of the garden. And they put seraphims and cherubims with flaming swords to prohibit him from coming into. He went out from the Garden of Eden to toil by the knee his bread by the sweat of his brow. And by, he was to return to the dust from which he came. Judgment fell upon him. And judgment has fallen upon us. And we live and eat our bread by the sweat of our brow. And we toil and we work and we cry and we moan and we have trials and we have troubles and difficulties. And that's all part of this. And that's what it'll be until we draw our last breath and go down into the grave. We die because of this sin of Adam. This nature we have of him. Well, the free gift, though, is many offenses is under justification. So he says here. And he goes on down here. Said sin reigns unto death. Unto death. It's there. It's there. It's paid for those that trust in his son. That sin's paid for. The penalty was laid on him. Our sins were by the infinite wisdom of God and the power of God, our sins, all of them, was gathered up. Ignorant sins were forgotten. That's laid on him. And the wrath of God fell on the blessed representative, the second Adam. Fell on him. And he paid what was their due. Whatever their due was, he paid for it. The penalty fell on him. At the cross, I first seen the light. Oh, glory to God. There is forgiveness for the vilest sinner out of hell if he'll trust the Lord Jesus. If he just look to him, trust him. Said that fellow over there, and that Israelite that was bitten, he's going to die. Poison's in his veins. Moses said, well, make a serpent of brass and put it in the pole. And he said, whoever among you that's bitten and you want life, he said, look, and you live. It begins with a look. It's looking to Jesus, the captain of our salvation. The second Adam, who came to undo what the first Adam did, bearing the penalty that's due us as sinners, clothing us with his righteousness, and making us accepted of him. Oh, I'm so glad that God sent him. His only son, the darling of his bosom, to pay my debt, to satisfy all the claims of justice against me. He could do it, and he did do it. Well, the Lord bless you and help you.